Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. It's Jason Leisure. Jason, we got one more of these games left, and then the real fun begins. We'll talk about all that and more coming up on Hallis Intrigue. Jason, the Bears are set to play the rival Packers at noon on Sunday, and after that, the real coach search begins. We've had an interim for 5 weeks now. Doesn't look like Thomas Brown's going to be the guy. Let's start there, and then we'll get to the Packers a little bit later. But what intrigues you the most about what's going to happen here in the next calendar week or so?
Like in the days right after the game?
A calendar week would be like a week from the moment we're speaking right now.
Of interest to me.
Right.
Well, they've been working on the coaching search for over a month.
Right.
Who knows how long they've actually been working on it, but for sure at least a month. And I guess it ramps up after this last game. Then you're going to really start going to work on interviews. It shouldn't take long to interview some of these guys. I don't know why in the world they wouldn't give Pete Carroll a serious interview. So I would have him here Tuesday if I were them.
They could have had him here last Tuesday, too.
Yeah, I'd have him here as soon as possible. The Jets have already been doing interviews. You know, Pete Carroll, again, is one of the guys. I'm not saying hire Pete Carroll. Right. I'm saying I'll be fine with it if they hire Pete Carroll, though. He's one of my three guys above the line, and Ben Johnson and Cliff Kingsbury. Well, let me throw that back to you, Pat. The top two candidates for this job, in my mind and in everyone, the consensus top two, are Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Lions, and Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator for the Commanders. Both those teams are in the playoffs. When can the Bears actually talk to those two?
They have to interview them virtually when they do talk to them, first of all. I'm pulling up my notes right here, Jason.
So it's interesting because we know the Commanders are playing in the first round. They're one of the wild card teams. They'll have a game. It's not an ideal time for their assistants to be doing interviews. The Lions, if they were to win Sunday night, would have a first-round bye, which I believe opens a window to talk to Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, if you are interested. By the way, while we talk about this, two things. One, I don't know if people in your life are ask you a lot about this, but like I've been making no plans for January.
Yeah.
And people that don't – I have a lot of friends that – either don't follow sports at all or don't follow this super closely. I mean, there's people that are very serious football fans that don't know all the ins and outs of the stuff that we do in coaching search and things like that, and it's totally fine. You don't need to know that. We do it for you, and then it just shows up online and you can read it, or in the newspaper and then you can read it. But it is, when Pat talks about it, it's like we're in the calm before the storm these last few games. These games are nothing.
Right.
Compared to the work we're going to be doing on tracking the coaching search and analyzing the coaching search in January. And the good news is, you know, when you cover the Bears, that only happens at once every 3 years. the other thing, though, is speaking for myself, and I actually would love to hear your thought on this before you explain to people when they can talk to Ben Johnson and Cliff Kingsbury. You will hear me be very dismissive of a lot of defensive coordinator and defensive-minded coach candidates for this. So you will hear me immediately dismiss out of hand Mike Vrabel and Brian Flores and Aaron Glenn. It is nothing against those guys or their careers. Brian Flores should totally be a head coach. He should be one of the top candidates. I don't want a defensive coach with Caleb Williams going into year two. I will accept Pete Carroll because I don't think Pete Carroll is really a defensive-minded coach. Pete Carroll is a proven two decades head coach who had great to fine offenses 16 out of 18 seasons when he was running the show. So he's an exception, even though he technically is a defensive-minded coach. I think you get to a point with some of these guys like Pete Carroll, Mike Tomlin, Andy Reid, John Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh even, it's not really about offensive-minded or defensive-minded. These guys have shown you they can run a whole program. You're the exact thing Matt Eberflus said he would do and then couldn't at all do. So when I tell you, when I kind of omit Brian Flores and Mike Vrabel and other defensive-minded coaches. It's not because I don't think those guys are head coaching material. It's just because you can't keep changing out offensive coaches here. You don't want to do that. I would much rather be trying to replace the defensive coordinator every couple of years, especially, Pat, at this stage in Caleb Williams' career. If we get to year 8 for Caleb Williams and he's made a bunch of Pro Bowls and got some playoff wins and he's established, bring in whoever you want. He's fine. But right now, Caleb Williams needs somebody that can come in and make sense of this rookie season and say, okay, the pie chart that we've spent all year trying to figure out, Pat, what part of this is Caleb's issue that he needs to fix? What part of this is totally incompetent coaches and poor personnel around him and things like that? What has he actually learned? Where are we starting from scratch? Cliff Kingsbury and Ben Johnson are guys that I think are ready to and have shown a track record of doing that. When can the Bears start the process with those two guys officially? We know it's unofficial. I mean, right. They can talk to the agents whenever they want. When can that officially start with Kingsbury and Johnson?
Okay, there's a lot there. For coaches with a wild card bye, which would be the Lions if the Lions win.
Let's assume that's just Cliff for now.
A wild card bye.
A bye, yeah. Let's assume that's the Lions, yeah.
Yes, so they can do it 3 weeks after the regular season ends. So that would be the middle of – that would be Wednesday, Thursday.
3 days.
Yeah, 3 days, not weeks.
Oh, yeah. I was so thrown off when you said 3 weeks.
They should do it.
Okay, so they can start talking to Ben Johnson Wednesday.
Yes, virtually. Correct. Virtually as in not in person, but virtual. For coaches on teams that are playing in a playoff game, you can do it 3 days after their playoff game.
After their first round game?
Yes.
Even if they advance?
Yes, and you need to complete it before the next round starts in both cases, if that makes sense.
Okay, so they will have a window to interview on Wednesday after the Green Bay game. Anybody, let's just say theoretically, on the Lions or Chiefs?
Virtually.
Virtually. So everybody else, they could then interview 1 week after that at the latest. And they'd have this window week two of the playoffs leading up to the second round games, Wednesday to Saturday, where they could interview basically anybody virtually.
And it's everything's got to be virtual regardless of whether you've made the playoffs or not until January 19th.
To level the playing field so that Brian Flores, for example, doesn't get shut out versus – what about the Mike Vrabel and Pete Carroll guys, the guys that are not
They can do whatever they want. And the second part about this is that the week of or leading into the Super Bowl, you can give a second interview to candidates who have Super Bowl teams, but you can't interview them for the first time, which means that if you think you want Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn or anybody who's got a good chance of playing in the Super Bowl, you've got to log that virtual interview first. Otherwise, you cannot meet with them in person for a second time.
So it's crucial that they interview Ben Johnson immediately.
Presuming Wednesday. That they win the game. Yeah, if they don't win the game.
Or the following Wednesday if the Lions were to play as a wild card.
And this is the NFL trying to slow down a process that in recent years had been just this sort of race to, hey, I've got this guy. And a process that had been, detrimental, I think, to assistants who were coaching playoff games. I mean, there's that story about Matt Nagy getting ready for the Titans, playing the Titans at home with the Chiefs when he was their offensive coordinator. And he woke up the morning after they took this huge upset loss and he had to go do interviews with the Colts and with the Bears. You could sit there and go, I'm sure he put everything he wanted or he could into the game plan. But at some point, he had to game plan for how he was going to interview too. And that was a net negative, and that used to happen every year. So now they're trying to stretch this process out. And I think if I'm a Bears fan, I think it's going to be a little exhausting to sit there and turn around after 20 days maybe and say, okay, what are we doing again? Do we have a plan? In terms of dismissing a defensive coach out of hand.
Yeah, where do you stand on that? You don't have to be yes or no on it. You can have a more nuanced.
Here's my nuanced opinion on both Flores. Let's start with Flores.
I have more on Flores besides just that he's a defensive
coach. This is what
coach.
I'm getting to, yeah.
Call his references.
Yeah, my issue with Flores is that he had a public feud with his first-round pick quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, and to the point to where Tua, who if you follow the way he talks and the way he gives interviews, Tua does not throw bombs at people.
He is buttoned up. He is so robotic as a talker.
But Tua essentially said...
let this out.
He essentially said, bad guy, which is not something... that would give me tremendous pause.
Brian Flores said he learned his lesson.
Okay.
My stance on that has been some other team besides the Bears and their second year rookie quarterback can find out if Brian Flores has learned that lesson.
And then with Mike Vrabel, it's it's another specific concern. I don't look at him necessarily as a defensive genius or anything, the way maybe Brian Flores is. But with Vrabel, his marriage in Nashville ended because he and the GM couldn't get along. And there was a power struggle and he lost it. If I were Ryan Poles or if I were Kevin Warren, I would do all the homework I could on why that didn't work. Because, you know, if you're a GM, I'm guessing the last thing you want to do is hire a guy who got in who had such a issue with his previous GM that he left. Because, you know, let's face it, Ryan Poles, where he is right now, would lose a power struggle probably against a coach who came in.
Against somebody with some clout.
Yeah,
I don't know if Ben Johnson or Cliff Kingsbury has that clout.
But, no, I don't.
If it was Pete Carroll or Mike Vrabel, they certainly have the clout that Poles at minimum would be taking a reduction in power.
Yeah, and you know my opinion. You and I have talked about Kingsbury enough, both on mic and off. I think that you have to talk to him, given what he's been able to do with Jaden Daniels, given the fact that he's run an NFL team before. He checks a box in a way that Ben Johnson doesn't. And that, you know, whether he was successful in Arizona or not, and I would argue that he wasn't, he at least knows what's expected of him as a head coach. That said, I don't know how, if you're the Bears, you can justify bringing him in to interview for a head coaching job and say, listen, I know we didn't pick you for the coordinator job last year, but we think you're the best in the world now. And I don't know how you sell it to a fan base, when you sit there and go, we thought Shane Waldron was a better fit than this guy was, but now, you know, we're going to give him a 4 or 5 year contract as head coach. And you can point and say, look at what he did with Jaden Daniels. That changed the calculus for us. You can try and do that. I think that's a hard sell.
You're hung up on this.
I am.
But I get it. I'm not mocking you when I say you're hung up on this. Mm-hmm. I understand. But a lot has changed since then.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears have admitted how wrong they were on Shane Waldron by firing him 9 games in. So it's okay to say we really messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And Cliff's resume is better now than it was at the time that they interviewed him.
Absolutely.
Like you just said. Mm-hmm. I mean, Cliff took a team that was 4-13 last year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Quinn and Cliff Kingsbury walked in there, had that team 11-5 going into the last week, and with a rookie quarterback who's very good,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think he would be just universally good no matter where you dropped him.
Nope.
I don't think he'd be this good, Jaden Daniels, if he was on the Patriots, for example.
Nope.
They're scoring like 29 points a game. They're 5th in the league in scoring right now under Cliff. So let me figure out a better way to ask you this. So how in on Ben Johnson are you? If I was to tell you, forget all that. You just did such an amazing job explaining the rules. And there's so many people that will find that helpful, including me. Let's throw all that out. And I tell you right now, they've today hired Ben Johnson. You're celebrating that for them to what extent?
I think.
How in on that move would you
be? I think he is the most bulletproof assistant you could hire.
Okay.
Because I think that if you look at the last 2 years, there have been, 8, 9 different teams who have actually talked to him. He's been a popular candidate, and he's also been picky. So if he's going to pick a situation, you know, it's more a matter of does he want to go than is he going to get a job.
He's been arguably the most popular candidate the last two cycles, and turned down things like the Panthers.
Yeah, I mean, Dan Quinn is the coach for the Commanders because the Commanders were on a flight to Detroit to interview him when he said, I don't want to do it, and backed out of it. I think that he would be the best. I mean, these are all gambles. I think it would be the gamble I'm most comfortable with if you're talking about guys who have never been a head coach before.
Okay.
I also think that his offensive line in Detroit would make a lot of people look like geniuses, including him. And I wonder, how much success is his scheme versus how much is an offensive line that has dominated literally every defense that they've faced. I think in terms of guys who have been coaches before, I think Pete Carroll makes
Well, I'm going to get to that. I want to know how in you are on Ben Johnson. So I'm going to put you at about a
8.5.
Look at that.
Sure.
That's what 6 years working together gets you. And I'm gonna say you kind of already addressed Cliff. I want to know how in on Cliff you are. That seems more like about a 5.5.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't hate Cliff.
No,
you don't hate the idea, but you're not so thrilled about
it. What I like about Cliff is the fact that he's got the combination of developing a rookie quarterback recently, with having been a head coach at some point in his life. The Bears, in their history, have hired one guy who's ever been a head coach at the NFL level in his life. Matt Eberflus had never been a head coach at any level, high school, college, or pro, when they hired him. I think if you're going in the opposite direction of Eberflus, that head coaching experience does matter. Now ask me about Pete Carroll.
Well, it's actually, I want to go on now a little bit of an offshoot here, because I was just thinking about this last night, Wednesday. I was watching the Rose Bowl, and I was watching Ryan Day at the end of it, and I was like, man, how do you know? How do you know that one of these guys can do the job? Because Ryan Day was not someone that a lot of people knew of before they put him, they hired him as head coach. And colleges are different because there's these gigantic brands. Mm-hmm. You could step in as the head coach at Alabama tomorrow and it'd probably go okay.
Right. Yeah, they have good players.
You might not be as good as Nick Saban or I can't even think of who's the guy that they hired from Washington.
Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah, you might not be as good as them, but you'd do okay with that brand. Like, it helps. But one of the things with these assistants, Pat, is you bring in Matt Nagy, who was a hot candidate at the time. There was so much about this job that was too much for him. Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't that he was a moron. It wasn't that there was some issues with personnel and stuff like that, but like with Mitch. But it was also, there were parts of this were just too much for Matt Nagy to manage as a first-time head coach. Matt Eberflus was absolutely not a hot candidate. He comes in and you can see there are things about this that are too difficult for him to wrap his head around. There are too many things to be in charge of. He is not a CEO type head coach the way John Harbaugh is or Pete Carroll would be. Ben Johnson has never done this. So it's hard to know, is this the guy? How do you know that one of these guys is ready to make that leap? If you hire Mike Vrabel, you know that he understands how that works. If you hire Cliff Kingsbury, you know that he understands how that works. Pete Carroll is the same thing. And Cliff Kingsbury, you're right. Mm-hmm. That it is a mixed bag on his time in Arizona. But it wasn't a disaster. No. It wasn't horrible. Cliff Kingsbury navigated that okay, and I think would continue to improve on some things. It is so hard to know who are these guys that are going to not only be offensive geniuses, if that's what you're looking for with the Bears, but the guys that can manage everything. The guys, Pat, that are going to be able to handle it when their defensive coordinator resigns in disgrace or when players are piping up about things that you wanted to keep in-house or when you have this crazy kicker derby because of the double doink that everyone is mocking you for nationally. All of these things, a patch.com report, players getting arrested, guys that you didn't draft like on other teams, all these things you have to answer for every day. That's just the public-facing side of it. Sure. There's so much about that proved too much for Matt Nagy, too much for Matt Eberflus, too much for Staley with the Chargers. A lot of these guys aren't able to take that next step into a totally different role. How do you know that Ben Johnson is a guy that can do it?
You don't know. But I would argue to you that
it's really hard.
That's not.
I don't know the answer, but it's really hard to figure out.
I don't think that's exclusive to an assistant coach either, though. John Fox, all the things you just listed that Matt Nagy had trouble handling, John Fox didn't handle it either. John Fox had been a head coach and been in the Super Bowl with two different teams. So it's not, it's how do you know it's a good fit between the coach and the team? Usually it's a much better fit when you have players who can win you football games. You know, like we talk about the front-facing part being a big deal, and it is. But boy, if you win games, which is something that hasn't happened in the last 12 years around here, you have a chance.
Well, you're totally right. Yeah. I mean, Matt Nagy was a media darling in 2018.
Yep.
And he was the guy you just could not hit the mute button on fast enough by 2021.
I will tell you this about Kingsbury, and just so you don't get the wrong idea. Here's what I love about Kingsbury as a play caller. Both with Kyler Murray and with Jaden Daniels. These are two guys who are Murray's too short, Daniels too skinny. Both of them have skill sets that have always been good at the college level, but not at the pro level historically. He built offenses around both guys to bring out the best in them. We could argue whether Kyler Murray's best is good enough at the NFL level, but he sure as hell got him a second contract that got him a lot of money. Jaden Daniels, we can argue whether Jaden Daniels is going to turn into the next RG3 because, you know, he's running so much with those skinny legs that every time he runs, I get nervous that he's going to get hurt. But, I mean, he's the rookie of the year this year. I think that approach is really beneficial when you're talking about Caleb Williams, but I also think Caleb Williams has skills that don't need that level of fine-tuning to build an entire offense around. I think you could put him in a lot of NFL offenses and he'd be good. I don't think I could say the same about Kyler Murray or maybe even Jaden Daniels at this point.
I think you have an opportunity with Ben Johnson or Cliff Kingsbury that you don't have with Pete Carroll because he'll be more of the CEO type coach. You have an opportunity with Ben Johnson or Cliff Kingsbury to establish this coach quarterback cohesion. Yeah. That the Bears could have, they had the opportunity to establish going into Caleb's rookie year, but stuck with Matt Eberflus. And I remember writing at the time, it would make sense to, this is the time to make the change, to bring in an offensive-minded head coach with Caleb Williams. And I wonder if Ben Johnson would have taken the job then. Right. I wonder if that wouldn't have been one of the jobs he would have turned down a year ago. You have the opportunity to do that now with Ben Johnson or Cliff Kingsbury and an obvious ascending talent in Caleb Williams. And I don't know the last time the Bears really had that. I don't know the last time the Bears really had that coach-quarterback connection, because Nagy certainly didn't have it with Mitch. I don't know if, you know, maybe before that you felt like there was someone that had that with Cutler. But with Nagy and Eberflus and Fields and Trubisky and Caleb to this point, we haven't had that.
No, even Mark Trestman's first year in which the Bears had the second-best offense in football, it was Josh McCown half the time because Jay was hurt. So, no, I mean, in my experience here, which started with Trestman, I've never seen that. And the Bears have an opportunity to build that with whatever coach they hire. Jason, we'll talk this to death, I'm sure, over the next couple of weeks. Real quick before we go, we do picks here. Suffice to say, everybody at the Sun-Times has got the Packers winning. But most of us have them winning by a lot. That's about all I think this game is worth saying.
It's up to Green Bay. I mean, It's really however bad they want it to be or if they're going to play their guys. At the time we record this, we assume they're playing the majority of their starters.
Yeah, if they win the game, they get to go to L.A. To start the playoffs. If they lose, they go to Philly. If I were them, I would much rather go to L.A., so I think they're going to try to win. Jason, we will do our best to keep everything in perspective when we come back Sunday night from the Lambeau Field Press Box. Until then, you can follow Jason, Mark, and myself, Mark being Mark Potash, at the Sun-Times website, on the app, or if you live in town, buy a newspaper. He's Jason, I'm Pat. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.